Just nod if you can hear me. That's okay.
Right.
Before we begin, just a couple of notices. One is that next week we will be opening every church next weekend. It is the first weekend that I will be presiding at Holy Communion, and therefore we're going to be doing a walking pilgrimage around the benefice over Saturday and Sunday. Details of this will be available on the Facebook page and on the website. So please do join us at any point in the walk if you would like to, and do join us for a communion service. As I say, times will be on the website. Just another plug for the food bank. If you are still able to donate food or money or anything else to the food bank, please do get in touch with Sue Cossey, and she'll be glad to receive your donations. Still very ongoing and still very important as we go into September. So that would be great. Let's have a moment's quiet before we begin, shall we?
Saying the bold bits.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And indeed, let us rejoice as we sing together, O glory, Lord, and honour.
Oh,
we have all come from different places today. We've all come from different types of week. And we will have all done things that we shouldn't and have forgotten to do things that we should. And so we come to say sorry to God. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As God's forgiven people, we sing again, My Jesus, My Saviour.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I have, never cease to worship.
Power and majesty, praise to the
Relatively modern.
And we're going to hear now from God's word as Val comes to read Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 13.
When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A very pictorial reading. Before I speak this morning, I want you to be still and as quiet as you can in the comfort of your own homes. And I'll explain why a little bit later on in the sermon. So do make yourselves comfortable and close your eyes. And I want you just to listen. O Lord, open our ears to hear your word and to know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. Thank you. Isn't it incredible that during our lifetimes we have developed the technology to attach small cameras to anything and to see things we would otherwise not be able to see? On any medical television programme, you can watch as a camera follows your food through your digestive tract, or you can see how your blood flows through your veins. On any nature programme, we can now see to the deepest depths of the ocean and witness some of the most unusual creatures on the planet. And this technology got me thinking about prayer. What if we could attach a small camera to our prayers, follow their pathways and effects? I have no doubt that it would be one of the most interesting, enriching and eye-opening journeys that we could take. Just imagine how it would be if you could see your prayer rise to God, see it enter his holy temple. Imagine it, how it would be to see his face as he hears your prayer in your voice, and then to hear his commands to his Holy Spirit and angels, and then to watch them sent out to reach to the hearts and the souls and the circumstances and the people that you have prayed for. Now, the Bible tells us a lot about how to pray, about the motivation we should have, our heart attitude and so forth, and also why we should pray. But as far as what happens when we pray, it's often a mystery. However, this one passage that we've heard read this morning from Revelation chapter 8, we see God receiving prayers and acting on them. And it is to me one of the most fascinating and sobering passages in Scripture. In fact, in this passage, it is not only one prayer that we see to be received by God, but the prayers of all the saints. And what we see in response to these prayers is very surprising. As Val was reading, and we saw this vision of the seventh seal being broken, you might have been horrified. Let's just go back a few chapters to the context of Revelation. John is sent a vision for the seven churches in the province of Asia. In chapters 4 and 5, they give us a picture as heaven worships God and the Lamb for who they are, what they have done, and for what they will do. We have seen the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, take the seven sealed scrolls from the hand of his Father, and in Revelation 6 he begins the process of breaking the seven seals. As this begins to happen, the earth is engulfed in one horror after another, as the judgments of God have begun to fall on sinful people. And that brings us to chapter 8. Verse 1, the seventh seal is broken by the Lord Jesus. And when he breaks this seal, seven trumpet judgments are unleashed upon the earth. And if you think things have been horrible thus far, you're right. But as the first four of the trumpet judgments are sounded against the earth, we're going to see things go from bad to worse. And for those who will be living on earth, horrible. You're thinking, what a gloomy sermon. But before all of that, in verse 1, there is silence in heaven for half an hour. Before I began preaching today, I asked you to be still and quiet. Not for half an hour, but for half a minute. What sort of silence was it for you? What sort of silence was it for that half an hour in heaven? Calm and peaceful? Awe and reverence? Or perhaps it was a silence of tension, as heaven knew what was about to happen and what God was about to do. Maybe it was all three. Holding silence can feel a lot longer than you think. And silence can vary a lot. At the beginning of lockdown, Tim and I walked one Sunday afternoon from Hockering to North Tuddenham. We walked over the bridge which crosses the A47. The road was completely empty. There was no traffic at all. And yet, it was not silent. But in the place of the traffic, there were the sounds of birds, the rustling of leaves in the trees. John, in this vision, describes a scene that must be a first in heaven. Absolute silence. And it rains there for half an hour. It's really hard to imagine, in our noisy world, a picture of absolute silence. Silence, however, is not only the absence of noise, but profound, deep experience in which that noise becomes muffled. And the deeper you go, the quieter it becomes. That, I believe, is the sense in which we should listen to what John is saying to us today and what God is saying. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven, which lasted half an hour. A sense of awe, expectation, and anticipation. The ceaseless praise of heaven dies away. The song of the faithful falls quiet. Everyone holds their breath. The moment we have all been waiting for. In society today, we often see people called to silence in the aftermath of a tragedy. Example of this might be Remembrance Sunday. We remember and we're silent after the event because we've no way of knowing when tragedy will strike. Heaven, on the other hand, calls for a moment of silence before the event. Heaven knows tragedy is about to strike, and heaven falls silent in the face of impending judgment. As we continue into verse 2, we see a picture of angels standing before God, ready to serve. What an amazing lesson that is to all of us. In a time when we can be concerned about education, health, money, and a host of other things that we think need to be in place in order to serve God, the greatest thing any of us can do is to stand and to be available to God. The Lord is always looking for people who are willing, with a heart like Isaiah, to say, "Here I am, send me." These angels, ready to serve, are given seven trumpets. Trumpets, as you may know, figure heavily in the lives of the ancient Jews. Different sounds of the trumpet meant different things. Trumpets were important in the lives of the people of Israel, and they are a big part of our future as well. And hard though this may be to hear, There is coming a day when heaven will sound its trumpets against the rebellious earth, and the walls of rebellion that have been erected against our holy God will fall before his unstoppable wrath. These trumpets are war trumpets, and they're used to sound the attack. And when God attacks the earth in his wrath, no one will be able to repel his advance. It's a sobering thought this morning. But we as Christians know that there is hope. As we move to verse 3, there is another angel. He takes a censer filled with incense and offers it along with the prayers of the saints on the altar before God. The smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints ascend together into the very presence of God. These are mysterious verses, but they do have a lesson to teach us today. That is the importance of prayer. We see here firstly that God holds the prayers of his people. As our prayers leave our hearts and lips to ascend to the throne of grace, they are not just sent out into the ether to disappear forever. These verses show us that God holds on to our prayers and keeps them in his presence. You see, some prayers cannot be answered when we pray them. The time is not right. In God's time, however, our prayers will be answered. Secondly, God answers the prayers of his people. And in this passage, we see here are not only the prayers of the saints being answered, but also that the prayers of God's people down through the ages are being answered as well. For over 2,000 years and today, God's people have prayed and will pray, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." These prayers are about to be answered. For thousands of years, the people of God have asked God to demonstrate his power, avenge his name, and get glory over sin. These prayers have been kept, and they are mingled with the fire of the finished work of Christ from the altar. They ascend before God, and they will be answered. And thirdly, the prayers of God's people have power with God. Here are our prayers that have been heard, preserved, and answered in God's time. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for many years, and now I'm an ordained minister. And still, I often feel that my prayers are totally inadequate. But I do believe God has power. And when we pray in Jesus' name, through his Holy Spirit, our prayers finish work, and they mingle with the finished work of Jesus Christ. They rise up before God as a sweet-smelling offering, an offering that he accepts and blesses to his glory. God hears us when we pray. So however inadequate you may feel, or however incoherent you think you sound, the important thing is that you pray and you know God's power in your prayers. As we've looked at this odd passage this morning, it's very pictorial vision. We have seen why prayer is important. God holds our prayers, and in his time he answers them. The prayers that we pray have power in God's hand as he judges the earth. The prayers of God's people, our prayers, culminate in God's salvation through judgment. And yes, judgment is terrible. None of us want to face the wrath of God. But we believe. We have good news. We have a gospel to share. We have the love of God to spread in our neighbourhoods. Jesus Christ has already faced God's judgment, and through his death and resurrection, we are free to live in relationship with God. Jesus Christ, who defends us continually against the accuser before the Father, and who by the power of the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. As of now, the angel priest still has his censer and has not thrown it on the earth with fire. As of now, our prayers are offered daily to God, and their aroma is always before his throne. The need for prayer is urgent. Prayer is what unfolds the will of God. What is the will of God? What's the will of God for our benefits, for our parishes? What is the will of God for you as an individual? As we did at the beginning, I'm going to ask you to be still again. Not for half an hour, but just for a few minutes. It will feel strange, but I invite you to take a deep breath, to get comfortable in your chair, to close your eyes if you wish, to open your hands, to be willing to sit in expectation, anticipation, and awe. And in a few moments, I'll end our time with a prayer. How is God speaking to you today? How will you pray? When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. O Lord, as we have held our silence and listened for your voice, may our prayer be that your will be done. Amen. If you have heard God's voice this morning and you wish to share that, please do be in touch with me and I would be glad to talk things through with you. We're going to sing again in a moment a version of Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, sung by Sarah Rutham. Please sing along if you wish to, or maybe you just wish to listen. Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in a rightful mind. In pure lives thy service bind. In deeper reverence praise. In deeper reverence praise.
And so we declare our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
and we share the peace together. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's offer one another a sign of that peace. You can wave, you can bow, or any other form.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
We're going to sing again of our faithful God, faithful one, so unchanging.
Lift me up.
Let us pray. Faithful God, your love is the anchor, and our hope is in you alone. We give you thanks and praise that despite restrictions to our lives, we are able to worship you together, that we are able to share the love of God with those around us. We bring before you all who face persecution, because they follow your calling. And especially today, we remember your people in North Korea and in China. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Creator God, as the seasons change, we pray for wisdom for all in authority, for our government, nationally and locally, that decisions taken would be to the benefit of all. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
God of community, we pray for your church in our local communities, as we seek your will in how to be the body of Christ in this time of restrictions. We pray for our witness to your love and grace. Help us to be a people who pray and listen. Stir us to action in the villages where we live and work. We lift to you today our schools, returning in the next week, for teachers and pupils as they adjust to a different way of working. We continue to pray for our doctor's surgeries, our hospitals, life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
God of compassion, we pray for all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for Cheryl Herman's parents. We pray for Jules Smith, still in hospital. And we pray for Tom Cross at home, recovering. In the silence, please pray for any others known to you who need God's healing at this time. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
The prayer for today. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's join together saying the Lord's Prayer. And please do say this in the version closest to your hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord Almighty, God Almighty, is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us all.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good and render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you now and all those you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn together, a hymn of hope and praise to God. In Christ alone, our hope is found.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love, this gift of and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness lay. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as
on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can never pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, in Christ alone.
Thank you for being here this morning and that we could be together. Please do stay on if you want to go and make yourselves a cup of coffee. We will be going into breakout groups and sharing some time together, socialising. And do remember next weekend, please, six services in six of our churches throughout the weekend. Zoom will also be happening next week if you're unable to make that. It is also the weekend of what would have been the cycle ride, which is still happening. So if you're able to sponsor us for pilgrimaging round the benefice, again, please look at the website for details on how to do that. I'll see some of you in a moment for coffee.